Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, it's common knowledge that the older we get, the less risk we should take with our portfolio. So today we put together some fantastic low-risk investments that can boost your income and boost your profitability in retirement.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in. This is Cruising Through Retirement. I'm Steve Siddall, and with me, as always, Kevin Brooker. Kevin, a fiduciary, independent investment advisor representative. You find him at Silverleaf Financial. He has been helping folks getting to and through retirement for more than 30 years and so much more than that. Kevin, how are you? Made it through another week.
Made it through another week, and we are doing very well. You know what? We have some ups and downs in the market, but we're doing well. Right?
Yeah, that market is a little scary today.
Oh, it is. And it's you know, some of us have been saying for a while that you should expect more volatility to come back in the market because the last several months we had very little, ups and downs. We didn't even have a 2% correction in several months. And anybody that's a market historian knows that's not normally how it goes. And it's nice. It's nice, right, when it's calm. But at the same time, for some of us, when it's so calm, it kind of gets me, it makes me a little bit anxious because I'm like, all right, because I know it's not going to last. And there's going to be a point in time where we start swinging all over the place. And, you know, the market is being as bipolar as it's ever been. It gets more excited than it should on the good stuff and gets far too negative on the down stuff. And so the market has a tendency to overshoot in both directions. That's why you want to try to keep your emotions, emotions in check, or keep emotions out of it if possible, so you can make the rational decisions and take advantage of things when they're on sale.
Yeah, and so what you're talking about here, it makes a lot of sense. You're some low risk, the safer investments, and I know that those are two words that, I mean, you know, you can't say no risk, I guess, because I guess there's always risk.
There's some sort of risk. Right?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But risk versus reward, I mean, hey.
Yes, that's the thing. It's the risk versus reward. And what I said earlier, you know, a lot of people have heard, most people know, you know, the overall recommendations, you know, from the so-called experts as a person gets older is to lower the risk in their portfolio, mainly because they just don't have as much time to make it back if we go through a downturn. And so to give you guys an example, if you go back – let's go back to 2000, right? We had a fantastic market in the late 90s. We had this great internet, you know, when all the talk about the internet and everything else, the booming of the internet. And anybody that put a www in front of your name, you know, the stock would just jump to the sky, it seemed.
Yes, of course.
And a lot of companies, you know, went under that were doing really well at that point in time. Some of them have done really well. But to give you an example of the time frames we're talking about, because the timing of your investments is so critical. Sometimes people forget that it can take a long, long time if your timing is bad. And to give you an example of that, go back to the beginning of 2000, where the market peaked, depending on which index you look at, It peaked. They peaked in 2000. And so let's say in the beginning of 2000, let's say March, April 2000, you bought Microsoft, right? Microsoft was most valuable company in the world now, right?
Of course.
Well, if you bought it in the beginning of 2000, you would have had to hold on to it for more than a decade before you had any reasonable profits. Because right at the beginning of 2000, that was before the bear market, market goes down in 2000, goes down again in 01, and goes down again in 02. Bad. So a lot of people lost over half their investments. NASDAQ, some things went down 80%, and some even more. And so depending on what your portfolio was comprised of, you could have seen some major losses. If you bought Microsoft, you had big losses on Microsoft. And then when it did start to come up again in 03, 04, 05, it just started to get back up to where you bought it, and we're into 06, 07, and then guess what? Great recession hits, right? What are they calling it now? The GFC, the Great Financial Crisis.
Oh, goodness gracious. I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah, if you listen to enough business news, you're going to start hearing that acronym. So if you hear GFC, that's Great Financial Crisis. That's the housing, you know, blow up in 07, 08. Yep. Right? So you just got back to break even on your Microsoft after you've been holding it for 7 or 8 years. And then, bam, the floor falls out again. Now you're sitting on losses again. And it's going to take another 3, 4, 5 years before you're back to break even and then onto profits. So now the whole time that you've owned this stock, remember, you bought it in the spring of 2000. And now it's 2012, 2013 before you're even break even again, guys. All right? So if you're in your late 50s, 60s and above, you need to think real hard about where you're placing your investments. Because if you buy at the high, right, you never know. You don't know at the time, right? Who would do that? Who would buy at the high if they knew it was going to be the high? Nobody, right?
Nobody.
If you know the market's going to crash for the next 3 years, why in the world would you buy today? And obviously, you didn't know that. Then you never do. There's never a bell. There's never a warning. There's never a signal that goes up, say, hey, guys, this is it. This is the top. Time to get out. It's never going to happen. It never has happened. And that's what makes it so difficult. And so that's why you want to look at fundamentals and you want to look at the business story and how protective of a moat do they have around their business. Is it easy for, in other words, is it easy forever? What my father always used to say, every Tom, Dick, and Harry will do it if it's so easy.
And if it's that's right.
Right. And if yes. it's so, and that's what we're talking about when we say this business has a moat. What that means is it's a barrier to entry. It's something difficult that would make it more of a challenge for a company to come on and challenge them. Right. And yes. and that's what you're looking for is a company that has a solid business that is not operating in a position where everybody and their brother can open a competing company and take away their business. And so you've got to look at all these things to figure out the value, because that's what gives you the confidence to hold on to it through the thick and the thin. And it's easy to look back and say, hey, you know, if you own Nvidia or Netflix for the last 10 years, you'd be a gazillionaire. Well, yeah, but do you know what type of fortitude it takes to hold on, right?
That's tough. That's a tough thing to do.
It is very hard to do, very hard. And so that's where a good advisor can help you out. Can you know, they say two minds are better than one. I think there's a lot of truth in that. And I think it can help to have the advisor, because they can help point you in the right direction, and they can help you with any questions you have, and they can help calm down the emotions, if you will, because obviously it's not easy seeing one of your holdings go down. You're losing money, right? And they'll tell you, well, you didn't really lose until you sell it, right? But you got a paper loss. And so it takes a lot of discipline to stay the course. And a lot of folks don't do that. The emotion, the fear of losing more money comes in, and then they sell at the wrong time. And it's the same thing with FOMO, the fear of missing out, right? People see the market going up, 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 and then they say, my God, I'm seeing it go up all the time. I got to buy it after it's up 30%. And you know what? That's a lot of times when it's right before it's going to come back down again.
Yeah.
And so my point is, we started off talking, as you're getting older, getting near retirement, you want to lower the risk. Right. That doesn't mean you have to get into things that don't make you any money. Right. There are some really good alternatives out there. You know, one thing a lot of people do is they'll get into real estate. They'll buy a rental property for real estate. And if you're able to do that, I would suggest to put down as big of a down payment as possible, if not paying for the whole thing, because otherwise you're going to be losing some of your profit in the form of interest that you're paying on your loan. So what I always suggest to people is that if you're a handy person, you know, if you have carpentry skills or plumbing or electrical or things like that, that you could build a house or repair the house or fix the problems yourself when they come up, then you, to me, are a great candidate for having a rental property. But if you're a guy like me that's spent his entire life in an office, and you're probably, and you aren't the most handy person out there, and for instance, me, I would have to hire people. I'd have to hire everybody, all the tradesmen. I'd have to hire all of them. And that might not be the best scenario if you want to make money in rental real estate.
Of course.
You know, but if you're that handy person, and you can handle that aspect of it, maybe your spouse can handle the financial aspect of it. If there's some way you guys can do the jobs that you would that a lot of us would have to hire somebody to do, then rental real estate might be an option that's worth looking into, because it will perform differently. It will diversify your portfolio. Okay. Now, I'm not a realtor. I don't have any skin in the game to benefit to suggesting this. I just want to talk about it as an alternative. However, some of us also have relatives that got really big into rental real estate and lost their shirt and wind up going bankrupt. I do have relatives that happened to. So you can lose your shirt in real estate just like you can lose it all in the stock market. So you want to be careful and make sure you do your homework and you understand the market that you're purchasing this home in. And then it might be a way that you can mitigate some risk and bring in some extra rental money. Let's say you don't want to do that, Steve.
All right, let's say we don't.
You know what? I've got an easier way, because I tell everybody, I say, well, but then you've got maintenance, you've got homeowners insurance, you've got property taxes. And you know, to me, the key, if you're doing rental real estate, is your tenant. If you can find an awesome tenant that pays their bills, that doesn't give you a lot of headaches, doesn't complain, you know, they're more easygoing, they're responsible, they don't make a lot of noise, you know, they don't cause any trouble. And that could very well be a good tenant. I've talked to some people that have had the same rental property, the same tenant, for over a decade. I have one that over 20 years. Somebody rented from them for over 20 years. Now, I say from the person doing the renting, I say, why would you do that? Okay, that's a whole other story. All right?
Right.
You know, but if you've got a stable, reliable tenant, then that can make renting tremendous. All right? If, on the other hand, what happened to one of my relatives – he decided to go into low-income housing, so basically the ghetto, and multi-unit housing. So these were all houses that were converted into, you know, four, five, six different apartments. And I know this very well, because this is how one of my very first jobs in life was doing the maintenance. So I would do the painting, I would do the pest control or kill the cockroaches, right? And I'd fix the locks on the doors. And then when I turned 16, he put me in charge of collecting rent.
And so, whoa, that's just mean.
Right? So I'm 16, Steve, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And in this case, the rents are due weekly, not monthly, weekly. And I had to collect the rent every Saturday morning, because most of the tenants got paid on Fridays. So he wanted me there at 9 o'clock Saturday morning, banging on doors to collect the rent, which they paid in cash. So I'm the teenager. They're knocking on the doors. And I go up there. I hear the noise. I smell them cooking breakfast. I hear the television going. And I go up there. I knock, knock, knock. Boom. Goes totally quiet.
Of course it does.
Now they're not there. Right? And so I'm like, guys, I can hear you behind the door. I know you're in there. All right? If there's a problem, we need to talk about it, because you know I'm here to collect the rent. Right?
Right.
And so you wind up with all these stories, you know, something happened, somebody got hurt, they had to repair something, they can't pay the rent. So what wound up happening is these tenants did not pay the rent. And this was in Illinois, where they have very, very good rent tenant protections. And what that means is they can go without paying their rent for months and months and months and months, and the landlord can't kick them out until he gets a court order that gives them the ability to do that. And in this case, at this point in time, it took almost a year for my brother to get through the court process and get through the court action to get these people evicted. So that entire time, they have not been paying any rent. He's still got to pay all his bills. He's got to pay all the mortgages, all the upkeep and everything like that. That's what caused him to go bankrupt. He lost it all. He had over 20 buildings. Lost it all through bankruptcy, because they weren't paying and he couldn't get them evicted quick enough to rent it out to somebody else. So
that's a terrible story.
I think it is a terrible story.
But I mean, obviously your brother wasn't the only one that happened to.
He definitely was not. Think about COVID. All right.
Yeah.
I know we all feel bad, you know, granted COVID was horrible, right? In a lot of ways.
No question.
And government passed a lot of provisions to try to help people out. And so they passed these provisions that people didn't have to pay their rent. Okay. Which is great for the people that don't have to pay their rent. But what about the guy on the other side? What about the person that owns the building, right? They're not all big, huge companies that have, you know, billions and billions of dollars. A lot of these properties are owned by, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones down the street or the other side of town, right?
Yeah, of course.
They're the ones that were getting stiffed and didn't get paid. And so, you know, there's two sides to the story, right? And in my opinion, that's why I said that I think the key, if you're going to do rental real estate, is make sure you've got solid tenants or you have the ability to find them, to weed them out. Because if they don't pay and you have to evict them, make sure you understand those laws and those rules. Because if you're in an area of jurisdiction that most of the protections are on the tenant, you could play hell as a landlord trying to get money that you're owed. So that is my word of caution for rental real estate. I think I think there's better ways because I saw that growing up and that turned me off of real estate.
Oh, yeah, I can understand. Yeah.
All right. So, guys, there are publicly traded real estate investment trusts. All right. These are collections of real estate. It could be office buildings, which wouldn't recommend right now. It could be retail property like stores. I did one a private one years and years ago that it was ownership in stores like Kohl's department store, you know, and Target, places like that. So, you know, in a case like that, you've got these huge corporations that are signing long-term leases. And they typically, in commercial real estate, it's very common for the lease to be 10 years. It's not a one-year lease like people pay for an apartment or something. All right. Rental real estate, commercial real estate, the leasing terms are far longer. And so that gives you a more reliable income stream as an investor because you've got more certainty knowing that you got that same tenant like a Kohl's or a Target that is a very strong financial company that is going to be your tenant for the next many, many years. So that's one that I did recommend and clients made a lot of money on it and it worked out very well. But you got to make sure you understand all the different moving parts, right? Now, there are some real estate trusts on the market that pay you very nice dividends that could work out very well, and you don't have any of the headaches of renting or finding a tenant or doing the upkeep or paying the insurance maintenance, any of that other stuff. So there's many other ways to invest in real estate. If you're interested in it, just give me a call. I'll be happy to give you some other ideas that don't involve you actually buying a physical property and managing it yourself.
Sure. So can I ask you a quick question about a REIT? So do you have to be careful in a REIT? I mean, are there like pitfalls that you could have with the experience?
Yeah, there are pitfalls. Sometimes they have different tax implications. And so you do want to take a look at it, and you want to look at the management of the company. You want to look at, you know, private REITs, these are non-traded. So they don't trade in the market. You can buy them through a lot of brokers. A lot of places have them. I don't personally recommend them anymore. Because I've seen a lot of them that never come public, and they never have an exit opportunity. There was one, and I knew this one from Illinois, because there was a company in Oak Brook, Illinois, called Inland American. And Inland was a huge company in this space. But they got into trouble with some of their closed private real estate offerings, and people were getting into them thinking it was going to be a 5 to a 7 year hold. And 15 years later, they're still stuck inside of that thing. And they can't get their money out. The only way you get the money out is if somebody dies. So most of us don't want to have to wait for that alternative.
I hope not. No.
Right? So be very careful if you're looking at things like that. This is where it's really good to work with an advisor that can help you through all these things, help you make sure it's appropriate for your situation.
Right. Because there are good ones out there.
But there are really good ones out there.
And that's what I mean.
And I prefer the publicly traded. So they trade on the exchanges just like a stock or anything else. Right. And what that means is that you can get out of it. You can sell it whenever you want to.
Nice.
Right?
That's the key.
Okay. And so you have liquidity, to me, is the key. You want to be careful these days, especially if you look at anything with office real estate. All right. We know what happened with COVID. A lot of people working from home. A lot of offices. I saw a story earlier this week where an office building that sold for $60 million several years ago was just sold for $6 million.
Oh, my gosh.
One-tenth of its cost. All right. So be very careful if you're doing anything with commercial, especially office real estate, you know, in that space, because there's a lot of other risks that you might not anticipate. So enough with real estate. Let's talk about some other alternatives, though, Steve.
Sure. Well, on the list, so there's something, I'm just going to ask for clarification, and then you can just take off. But we're talking about bond funds and bonds. What's the difference?
Yes. Oh, that's a good question. I was going to go into that. Bond funds are a collection of bonds. So an individual manager, just like a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund, it's a basket of stocks or bonds. Sometimes it's a basket of both. In the case of a bond fund, it's a basket of bonds that a fund manager has put together, and they will trade. So they will buy or sell based on whatever strategies they're employing. The difference is with an individual bond, you can go and you could say, for instance, right now treasuries are 2-year treasuries are just below 5%. So you could go out and buy a 2-year treasury direct from the Treasury Department, United States Treasury Department, online for free, no charge, no commission. You can go buy a 2-year treasury paying just under 5%. And you know that if you hold on to it for the entire 2 years, you're going to get all your principal back and you've made your 5% or whatever, 4.96, whatever your yield was. But you've got to hold on to it to its maturity. All right. Now, if it fluctuates in between, it's okay when you've got something strong because it will be redeemed at par, which is what you paid. All right. But in the meantime, if interest rates fluctuate, that bond could go down in value. And so in the middle of it, while you're holding it, you could look at it and see that it's down, right? Because if interest rates go against you, in other words, if interest rates went higher, then that bond value is going to be lower. But if you hold on to maturity, you will be made whole if it's a high-quality bond like a U.S. Treasury.
Okay.
Whereas with a bond fund is going to fluctuate in price. And the biggest ones are the aggregate bond indexes. The biggest one is AGG. That's iShares Aggregate Bond Index. So that's got short-term, mid-term, long-term bonds. Everything under the sun is in that fund. And if you look at it, I think you're going to see that it's down for the year. And if you looked at it in 2022, I want to say it lost 16 or 17%. So bond funds, you can lose money in bonds just like bond funds, but with a bond, an individual bond, you know you've got a maturity date.
And right, there is an out.
There's an out, and if you know you hold on to it, and if it's a quality bond, you'll be made whole and you won't lose anything. All right?
Sure.
Now, if it's a junk bond, it could be a different story, but that's the difference. With a bond fund, there's no maturity date. And that's the problem I have with people buying bond funds. I know some institutions that loaded up on bond fund. Okay, they sold all their stocks right before stocks had one of the best years in history. And I'm actually talking about the homeowners association that I live in, which is not being well managed in terms of their investments. They got out of stocks the year before they had one of the best years in history, and they put all the money in bonds right before one of the worst years in history for bonds.
Oh, man.
Right? Now,
they need your help, Kevin. They need your help.
I've spoken to them several times. I've said, you should fire this person, this management company. They're not doing a good job. Right? And yep. That's true story. And they took all the money and they put it into bond aggregate bond funds. And against my advice, they bought several aggregate bond funds. And I said, how in the world does that add any diversification? Because it doesn't. Okay? It doesn't. All right? They loaded up on different ag funds because they have different ticker symbols because the rules of the association allow them to do that, to not put the money in one security, but it doesn't stress that it has to be a different security. And it's foolish, right? Ignorant.
Yes.
And nonetheless, that's what happened. So I am not, bond funds do have a place in a portfolio. The ones that I'm suggesting that I recommend in my clients are short term. I like floating rate bond funds right now. I've got several of them that are paying in the 7 to 8% interest rates they're very stable. It's not guaranteed. It's possible to lose money. But with shorter term bond funds, it's much less likely that you're going to have a loss. So what I'm doing for my clients is short term bond funds. With me, that means less than 5 years to maturity. Shorter term means less fluctuation, less risk. And because the short term end of the bond market is where it is right now, I mentioned 2-year treasury at 4.95. We're getting between 5% and 8% in these funds that have much lower risk than stocks. So I think they're a good diversifier, but only I prefer the short end of the yield curve.
All right, that makes sense. So let's talk about municipal bonds then. Where do they fit in?
Munis for your high income person.
Okay.
All right. Munis are tax free bonds issued by the government. So somebody, I don't know, the government decides they want to build a new highway or build a new bridge or whatever, then they sell bonds to investors. And that's how they raise the money to pay for these projects. So sometimes they could be backed, they could be revenue bonds, like backed by a toll road, let's say, where people pay tolls and that's how you get paid back. Other times it's a municipality paying you back. But they're tax-free, free of federal taxes. So they're ideal for somebody that's a high income earner if you want low risk investments that are tax-free. And muni bonds are worth taking a look at. There's also funds for those, by the way. So what we always want to look at in that case, this is when you start talking about taxable equivalent yield, right? So So if you're in the 33% tax bracket and you're getting a 6% bond, then your taxable equivalent yield is 4%, right? Because you're losing a third to taxes.
All right, sure.
Okay? So if you can get a muni that's paying 4.5 tax-free, you're better off with a muni at 4.5 than a regular bond paying 6 if you're in that, you know, 33% or higher.
All right.
So it's the taxable equivalent. So it's the after-tax equivalent of what you're looking at. So you want to compare the strength, the maturity, the duration, things like that to figure out which one is best for you. And I would suggest find a good advisor because he or she can help you out with that.
All right. And folks, if you want to reach out to Kevin, you can find him on silverleaffinancial.com. That's silverleaffinancial.com. Or give us a call, 800-975-6717, 800-975-6717. Again, we're kind of winding things down here. Where else did you want to go, Kev?
You know what? We're talking about investments that are you know, more conservative, if you will, or
sure,
don't take as much risk as just buying stocks. In particular for somebody that's retired or close to retirement. Don't get me wrong. I like stocks. I own them myself. I own them for a lot of clients. It's my opinion. See, I do stocks. I do bonds. I do guaranteed safe investments like annuities. I do low-risk investments like, you know, individual bonds or muni bonds or bond funds. As I mentioned, short-term ones are the ones I like. So I like the whole gamut. I am not a person that says you should never have an annuity, just like I'm not the person that says you should never touch stocks. I think they all have a place in a portfolio as long as they fit the investor's objectives and risk tolerance. So if you're a really conservative person, maybe you don't want to take any risk in stocks. Maybe you've got enough money that you just need to focus on preserving what you have, right? Because the old, you know, Warren Buffett, one of his famous sayings, I'm more concerned about the return of my money than the return on my money, all right? And so wealthy people, they just want to know they're getting their money back. And if they can make a little bit on top of it, fantastic. But they know they've got enough, so they don't, to do whatever they want. So their biggest focus is preservation of capital, and so there's different things that can do that for you. But personally, I've got an investment that I'm very excited about that is brand new, that has never been around before. It is the first of its kind. It is revolutionary, and this is an annuity that is the combination of a fixed rate annuity, with in other words, a 4% fixed rate. And it has an index option. So listen to this. How about if I can give you a 4% guarantee on your money? You put it in for 5 years. You know, 4% is your floor. Four is the floor. Four is your minimum. Okay? So if the markets get cut in half, you still make your guaranteed 4% compound interest. But we also have an option that we can get 75% of the growth of the S&P 500 after 5 years. Right? So I can give you 75% of the S&P 500 after 5 years. And if that's better than 4%, you get the gain of the market. But if it's less than 4%, you get the minimum 4%. So to me, that is a beautiful product. And you know what? If you could go 7 years, I can get you 90% of the market's gains. Whoa. 90% with no risk of loss. None. With a 4% guarantee if the markets don't make any money. So you know you're going to make a minimum of 4%, and you can make any all the way up to 90% of the S&P 500 gains risk-free, all right? Now, the caveat is you have to leave the money in there. It does not allow withdrawals, okay? But if you have money that you can accept RMDs, if it's retirement money, you can take your required distributions, all right? But that's all right? So if you have money that's long-term money and you would like to get more than fixed rates are offering, but you don't want to take a chance of losing money, you need to give me a call because I can show you this. How you can earn this guarantee. It's contractual guarantee. This is classified as a fixed annuity, all right, because it has a 4% guarantee. And this is the best combination I have seen in a long time, Steve, in terms of a minimum interest rate and having upside potential growth.
Well, yeah, you don't usually get this excited about these things, but tell you're excited about this.
Oh, I tell you what. Well, for a long time in the index annuity world, this is how your gains are tied to like the S&P 500 index. But if the markets go down, you don't lose a thing. And they can do really well, guys. They do have caps, though. The trade-off is there's a limit on how much growth you can make simply because nobody can give you all the growth of the market with none of the risk. It's impossible to do. If you could do that, then I would like you to do it for me, okay? In other words, give me all the upside. I'll give you all my money if you say there's no risk, right? And you put it in a contract. The fact is, you can't do it. I have no idea. I honestly don't know how this company is giving 90% of the S&P 500 with a 4% minimum guarantee. That's a phenomenal offer, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
And because for the last 20 years that I've been working with annuities, it was always the saying, zero is your hero. Right?
That's what I remember. That's what I've heard since I've been doing this.
And yes, and what that means, guys, is that if you put money into, you put $100,000 into one of these index annuities, and the market falls apart, crashes and burns, drops 80%, you won't lose a penny. You won't lose a dime. Your $100,000 is still $100,000. And that's how they say the zero is your hero, because zero is way better, right, than taking a 40, 50, 60, 70% loss. So that's where zero is your hero came from, because it protected you. It kept you from having to endure this massive loss. And so a lot of people selling these things would say, hey, zero is your hero, right? You don't lose anything when the markets go down, but you make everything the market makes up to a cap. Right now I have caps at 11 and 12%, guys, with no fee. No charge. You can make up to 11% on the S&P 500, and then it gets locked in. Every year it's locked in, and you cannot lose it, okay? So there's a lot of good alternatives out there right now that I'd love to talk to you guys about. If you'd like to see some of them, there's a lot of good alternatives that I can show you, and I'd be happy to talk to you about, you know, if you're interested in bonds and you want to keep it in the markets, I'd be happy to show you these bonds, these funds I'm looking at that are paying 7 and 8% right now. So just give me a call and I can go through it.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.